every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
Even when it's triple digits outside. Come on around back, Arizona. It is 8 o'clock, third Saturday of the month. We're talking gardening and all things landscaping. If you'd like to join the conversation with Jay Harper, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. And you can also email info@rosieonthehouse.com. And you know, that's the one nice thing about landscaping and gardening and, working with your hedges and your trees and watering your garden and vegetable and mowing your lawn. It don't care about what's going on out in the world.
No,
you can leave it all behind.
Yeah. You know, it's, kind of owning a nursery and being a dairy farmer, a lot alike when it comes to that. The cows don't care and the plants don't get, it's whatever day it is, yeah, it's a good escape, very good therapy. Get out there, and you can always find something to do in the garden. You know, there's always a weed or a plant that needs tended to or something that needs done, right? You know, it's never complete.
So. The only thing they care about is when it gets over that triple digit, and then they start stressing for a little water.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting to that point here pretty quick where tomato plants are going to start kind of, showing the signs of the heat, especially knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't happen. We all like the monsoon, and there's a lot about the monsoon the plants like, but when those nights stay warm, the tomato plants don't do so well. So, make sure you're checking your watering systems. You know, we've had some hot spells, but man, the last few days, wow. It barely hit 100 the other day, a couple days ago. The mornings are still fantastic and the evenings. So you want to make sure that irrigation system is functioning properly, putting water where it should be putting it, not squirting it into the street, but not completely blocked. And, because we do get that high stress when nighttime temperatures don't cool off anymore, that's when all of a sudden, boom, it doesn't take very many days of that, a couple of days, and like, ooh, what happened? So get out there. Sometimes it takes a couple of people to check your irrigation system properly. Somebody running the controller and somebody, observing the actual ends, the terminal ends, the drippers, the shrub sprays, the lawn sprays, whatever you're watering, make sure they're going in the right direction. And if you've got lawn sprinkler heads that are more than, a few years old, I would encourage you just change the nozzles out on them anyway. They get run over by the lawnmower and hit with the weed eater, and you have our hard water run through them. They probably aren't functioning 100% properly anyway. And they've got some really cool now, these low volume MP rotator heads that put water on. They look like little fingers. They kind of rotate. Those are a really smart way to go. They don't get affected by wind. If your water pressure, as in most houses, has gone down a little bit over the years, they work on much lower water pressure. Pretty smart thing to do. If you're going to change them out anyway, you might want to consider changing to that type of a.
And I don't need to do anything special. It doesn't require any extra plumbing or electrical.
No.
They just start.
You just need to know the spacing of your heads. So you put the right ones on, so they'll.
I'm looking for a 12 foot stream or an 18 foot stream.
Right, whatever you've got. So, yep, that's it.
And so, if I'm going to the irrigation supply house, what mm-hmm. am I specifically asking for?
There's probably different brands. MP rotator is the one that I'm. When we were putting them in, that I was familiar with. But if you're telling me you want a low volume sprinkler head. The rotating kind, the ones that look like little fingers, they'll figure it out for you. And just know what your spacing needs to be. It would help if you knew your water pressure, but most people don't know that.
And it's not hard to find. You do need a tool for it. You can get it just about any hardware store, and you screwed onto your hose bib that enters into the home. Turn it on, right, and it tells you your pressure.
Right. Yeah. So, but, you know, it's not completely necessary, but it's not a bad thing to know, especially if you're going to, if you really want to be scientific about how much water you're putting it on and that sort of thing. But
I got a bit of an education.
Every drop counts.
Yeah.
I got a bit of education last summer where I was developing brown spots in my yard, and we hadn't changed the irrigation system, but over the years, my mower had hit a couple heads, and I had just pulled the neck up and replaced just the nozzle head at the top, you know. But I didn't know, I should have been bringing the bad one to Ewing with me.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Because now, I knew the distance, but there's also a radius arc.
Yes.
And I was buying the wrong ones, and when I finally called Think Green Irrigation, I fussed at him. I said, "Your system you put in 20 years ago isn't working." And Big John says, "Well, Rosie, you've been replacing the wrong parts."
And yeah, boy, so the throw angle when it comes out of the head can be different too. It can be flatter or a higher trajectory.
I learned that lesson one more time. When you have something broke, take it to the experts, the actual broken part. Don't think you know what it is.
That's a great tip.
And then I'll tell you, the years we've done the show together, one of the very best tips I ever got from you, and this was about 5 or 6 years ago, in the beginning of the hot season, have that one key indicator plant.
Yeah.
That show, and I've got one right underneath my Texas ebony, and baby, it's the first one that starts looking bad, and that tells me instantly, okay, pay attention.
Kind of got to find that least common denominator. There's generally one variety of plant in the landscape that's a little more needy. Perhaps the soil it's in is not, you know, doesn't hold as much water, whatever it is. But you can look at that and go, okay, even though my sprinkler irrigation system is set to run X amount of days apart, especially when it's over 110.
Yeah.
I tell people, when it's over 110, all bets are off on your irrigation schedule.
You have to manual
cycle. You've got to look. You got to be out there looking at them then, because all it takes is a day. You know, if it goes a day too long on some of that stuff, you're going to have damage. When we get to those extreme temperatures, which, you know, knock on wood, maybe this will be one of those summers, right? We might get lucky. But when we have 18, 20 days straight of 110, all bets are off. You gotta look at them. And it's always best, I think, to check it in the cool part of the day too. If you go out there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there might be a lot of stuff wilting. Check it that morning. Check it when it's cool, when it's had a chance to recover, and then you'll know. If it's already looking a little wilty now, it's gonna be in big trouble at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So. Check your irrigation systems. Make sure you're watering properly. Get that pamphlet or go online to that Landscape Watering by the Numbers, wateruseitwisely.com. Really has a great way, a very simple way of walking you through how to make sure you're watering deeply enough, getting the water down where the roots really need it. How to figure out a schedule based on the time of year, based on the kind of plant you have. And that'll really, really answer a lot of questions. When we say water deeply, you'll see exactly what we're talking about. You know, if you've got to get water 1 to 3 feet deep, depending on what you're watering, how many emitters, at what rate, and how long, and where they need to be spaced, all spelled out in that little book. It's a handy little development, or a little piece that was developed by an organization that's kind of managed by all of the cities in Maricopa County.
So. Where we use a lot of water. And
we do.
The design is to water properly so you're not wasting any.
And, you know, I was at Roosevelt Lake last weekend, and it is full, 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 full. Let's keep it that way. You know, let's not draw it down any more than we have to, right? It'd be nice if it stayed very full for a while.
I think we're going to have to put a sprinkler system draining out of Roosevelt Lake on the backside of Four Peaks.
Put a big sprinkler system right up on the top of Four Peaks and let it just spray out.
Oh, man.
No kidding.
On that watering, and you're talking about depth and watering deep, you always said a screwdriver and use that. I bought a soil probe, and I tell you what, that has changed how I've watered everything because it's over 3 feet long.
Okay.
And, yeah. You know, you can, getting down on your knees with a screwdriver on one or two trees is okay, but when you're trying to do 50, being able to just stand up and walk around real quick and probe it.
For trees, you really need a probe too because you need to get the water down 3 feet deep. Screwdriver's more for the lawn. If you, you know, I would always take one with me. Somebody, I've got brown, like you had a brown spot in your lawn, and I know I'm watering enough. I'm like, well, let's go see. Go out in the middle of that brown's patch and take that screwdriver and you'd stick it in and go, ding. It'd go in about a half an inch, quarter of an inch. You know, I'm like, and you'd lean on it and stand on it and you could finally, I said, this spot at least is not getting anywhere near the kind of water you think it is. You know, it ought to be just like butter, you know, push it in 3-4 inches deep. Boom. Okay. You're good. So it's a good way to check. Yeah, something like that. But even a piece of rebar for your trees that you can stick it in and pull it out and see if there's moist soil, you know, clinging to it as you pull it out. Something like that. But it's surprising, isn't it, how long you can water in the water. And you think, oh, and you go down there, it's only gone down 6 inches or 8 inches. Or, you know, after a big rain, you go out and dig, thinking of plant a tree or a shrub. And you start digging, and about 3 or 4 inches later, you're in dry, hard ground. So,
and then a lot of times on those drips, you see just a small spot mm-hmm. that looks wet, and you're like, man, this isn't nearly enough.
Right.
You take that probe, and you go down 3 feet, and you're like, wow, no, there's a ton of water here.
Right. Yeah, because it just leaves the little wet spot. That water, once it penetrates down through the soil, it looks like a light bulb. So it goes in. It's got a little wet spot on top. Then as it goes down in the soil profile, it spreads out, and then it bulbs out down at the bottom. So it's if you've got a little wet spot, just want to make sure that you've got those little wet spots equally spaced out around the tree so that, you know, once subsurface, they're all connected down there, and you've gotten everything good and wet.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. When you hear the auto attendant just hit one, that'll get you right into the studio. When we get back, it's Heath first on the line. Wants to talk about his Chinese elms and pistache trees.